Hey, Trojan fans, it's time to get into the huddle with the Peristyle Podcast. The Peristyle Podcast is your weekly ticket to USC football and recruiting news. Don't forget, you can download the podcast 24/7 at our website, peristylepodcast.com. And now, here's the host of the Peristyle Podcast, USCFootball.com publisher, Ryan Abraham.
Hello, Trojan fans. Welcome to the Peristyle Podcast on a Tuesday. Moved everything up this week a little bit. We wanted to bring in our good friend Pete Sampson, did a great job covering Notre Dame for Irish Illustrated to talk about the, of course, USC Notre Dame game. But we had a schedule this morning to talk a little bit, and then there's a little breaking news. So let's bring in Pete Sampson and maybe talk about what the morning's been like for him. Hey, Pete, man, what's going on?
It's been never a dull moment out here.
Yeah, what was the, the NCAA, you know, the players that were talked about with the NCAA sanctions here were suspended, I believe, when this went down. I didn't know about an NCAA investigation. Was that kind of a quiet thing, or what was going on with that?
No, it's been going on since Notre Dame announced its investigation, or concluded its investigation, I should say, in August of 2014 and suspended five players. We've known the NCAA hammer was going to drop at some point. We just didn't know when. And we had heard sources that the vacating of wins, or at least the NCAA saying, hey, we want you to vacate wins, was likely. That was very much on the table, and Notre Dame's president said that was on the table all the way back in 2014. But there wasn't really any warning that this was going to drop 10 minutes before Brian Kelly's last press conference of the season. the entire media group is there in the football auditorium waiting for him to show up to talk about 4-7 and what's going on. Why can't, get the season on track? And then it just turned into this really bizarre press conference where Kelly's up there talking about, hey, we're going to take questions at USC before we talk to NCAA. And like, no one wanted to ask questions about USC.
That never works when you do.
So, so there were about three questions about what's going on with the team, and then jumped into the NCAA stuff and sort of sifted through the report since then. Notre Dame put out a statement during the press conference from the president's office. Basically, it gets down to they have to vacate all the wins from 2012 and 2013, and they're going to be on probation for 1 year. Those are the penalties that Notre Dame will get hit with. There was a student trainer who was involved in the academic misconduct that worked with nine different football players and committed academic misconduct that way. Only five of them had eligibility remaining in 2014 when the investigation started. That means that another four had already exhausted their eligibility and were on to the NFL or wherever they were. It's been a pretty wild day out here within a very wild season.
Yeah, obviously USC fans are quite familiar with sanctions and covering all that stuff. And I get all these tweets now this morning. Anytime anyone gets hit from the NCAA, I get tons of tweets about, hey, how many more scholarships is USC going to lose because of this and stuff like that. So it's kind of funny. It's so weird though. $5,000 fine. Like, okay, what? Like, what is that?
Yeah, it's not clear whether that. I'm assuming that was for the trainer, opposed to Notre Dame having to pay. I mean, to fine Notre Dame $5,000, that may have been the most comical part of the whole thing. But I'm not entirely sure if that's who was being asked to pay the actual fine. But I don't know how they could enforce that for a former Notre Dame student who was an athletic trainer and went on to law school. Why, like? I don't know how they would compel someone to pay them $5,000 just because they said so.
Yeah. The NCAA makes no sense. And like vacating wins is probably one of the stupidest things, ever. But, there's no like real, like there's no bowl ban. There's no loss of scholarship. So if you're an NCAA,
Yeah, there's none of that. So it comes down to like kind of almost like a clerical issue in the media guide, but I mean, for Notre Dame, a program that at the beginning of the season was celebrating being number one all-time in winning percentage by wearing the number one jersey, only to have that taken away during the year because they were doing so poorly and Michigan was winning, and now to be even farther down the rank, it's a huge embarrassment for the university. The optics of it are terrible. as much as Brian Kelly can get up there and say he bears no responsibility for this, he does. And I think that he deep down is aware of that.
Well, it's, I mean, you know, we've seen this happen before at USC where, like, hey, you can only ask questions about the game, and they're all anyone wants to talk about. But we actually do want to kind of talk about the game. I don't know if this morning...
It will still be played.
Yeah, it still will be played. I mean, does this morning change preparation or motivation or anything, do you think? Like, would it impact the game at all?
No, I don't think so at all. Because, I mean, none of those players are here. They haven't been... Most of them have not been here for years. So it's like you have the majority of Notre Dame's roster. They were never shared the locker room with these guys. So no, I don't think it really affects anything as far as the game goes. I mean, it certainly weighs down on the administration and Brian Kelly. You know, maybe some of his assistants who have been here for a long time, but even the coaches that recruited these guys in the first place, most of them have moved on to something else. So it's, I don't think it impacts the game from a preparation standpoint. It certainly impacts the game from a narrative standpoint. And if Notre Dame comes out and loses badly on Saturday, then I think that sort of gets piled in with this NCAA investigation, what would be a 4-8 record, what would be going 15-15 over your last 30 games, what would be Brian Kelly becoming the losingest coach in Notre Dame history with 31 losses. So I think it's a pebble on the pile against Brian Kelly, but in terms of whether Notre Dame is going to have an effective intermediate passing game, I don't think it has anything to do with that.
Okay, a fair point. So for USC fans that maybe, you know, usually they follow the Notre Dame season fairly closely, you look at the 4-7 record, but no blowout losses. You know, the worst loss, I think, was 8 points. They've all been kind of close games. It just kind of haven't been going Notre Dame's way at the end, it seems.
Yeah, it's strange. I mean, they're the first team, the first Power Five team to lose 7 games by 8 points or less by one score since North Carolina State in 2006. So it's been a while since this has happened. I mean, this season reminds me so much of Notre Dame in 2009. Which was Charlie Weiss's last season. They lost 6 games by 1 score each. And it just, yeah, I mean, they've had the ball in the fourth quarter with the chance to win or tie or force overtime or win it in overtime in all 7 games. But I think that it has to be taken into account. Like, if Notre Dame was coming into USC and they were 9-1, and you just like flip the scores of a bunch of these games. And so let's say they beat Michigan State by 1 score. They beat Duke by 1 score. They beat Texas by 1 score. I don't think people would necessarily feel all that. I mean, they would feel better, but Notre Dame has played a really bizarrely soft schedule this year by Notre Dame standards. But the fact that they haven't been able to take advantage of that for the first half of the season, the defensive coordinator was a mess. He got fired after 4 games. And for the second half of the season, the offense has really let them down in some crucial situations.
I guess the other aspect is that Notre Dame had some pretty big leads. I mean, there was a bunch of games that are up by like 17 and end up losing, right?
Yeah. I mean, they're just in their home schedule, they've blown double-digit leads 4 times.
Wow.
They end up coming back to beat Miami after blowing a 17-point lead. They're up 17-0 and 24-7 on Virginia Tech. They're up 14-0 on Duke. And I believe they're up 10-0 on Stanford, only to lose 17-10. So they've really gone in a funk offensively. I mean, even Michigan State, they were up, I think, 7-0 and then allowed, I want to say, 36 unanswered points. They've had a weird season, and it's not like they haven't been in position to win these games with a quarterback who's going to be playing in the NFL, but they have, it's like if you had lost a coin flip 7 of 8 times. That's sort of what it feels like for Notre Dame right now.
But the, you know, you talk about the defensive coordinator getting fired. The defense has looked better. It seems like the defense is getting better, at least in the latter half of the season. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I think it is fair to say. You know, and getting rid of the coordinator has helped that because they were trying to run an NFL-style defense, and the players just could not handle the install over and over and over again. So I think that has helped them. I'd say beyond that, I think some of it has to do with the fact that they're playing so many young players in the secondary. I mean, there have been formations where they've had four freshmen on the field in the secondary at the same time, which I have never seen before in 17 years covering Notre Dame football. Against USC, they'll be starting when they go nickel, they'll have a freshman free safety, a junior safety at strong. They'll have a senior corner, and then they'll have two true freshmen. So at a minimum, you're basically have three true freshmen out there at all times in the secondary. Those players have gotten a lot better as the season has gone on. So I think that's helped, but I think mostly it's helped removing what was really a negative influence on the program overall in Brian Van Gorder. And just in terms of his attitude, his personality, and the fact that he tried to basically install them to death with a new playbook almost every week.
Yeah, that's not the greatest recipe for success in college.
No. it's like they weren't that athletic to begin with, but then it's like, all right, then you're going to have to process things like a supercomputer before every play. Like, you're just not going to get guys playing fast when you do that.
Makes sense. No, offensively, you talked about it. I mean, there's NFL talent here. I was watching, I think, in the game last night, like you see Will Fuller making plays. I mean, Notre Dame's had some, you know, great offensive players. What do you think has not been working with this offense this year?
You know, the loss of Will Fuller was big. I mean, really big. I mean, you think back to last year's game. How many guys have you seen just blow by a Dory Jackson?
Yeah,
not many. And Will Fuller was one of those guys. I mean, he did it on the game's first play for Notre Dame. So to lose that deep threat really hurt the offense because basically teams figured out that, all right, let's go 20 yards back from the line of scrimmage and then the ball's never going to get over our head because they don't have receivers who can run like that anymore. They've sort of changed up the offense a little bit lately, but their deep threat is Kevin Stepperson, who is a three-star recruit who's a true freshman. And he's been pretty good, but he's a true freshman. So I think the fact that defenses don't have to defend the entire field has hurt the offense. And then I think the offensive line has been a pretty big disappointment. They didn't, unlike USC, they didn't have the experience back that the Trojans do, but they do have some NFL guys. Their left tackle, Mike McGlinchey, is on all sorts of mock drafts in the first round, and their left guard, Quentin Nelson, is sort of in the same boat. They've been okay, but they have not been nearly good enough. And then their center position has been a real letdown with Sam Mustipher. He was stepping in for a three-year starter named Nick Martin, who was a second-round pick of the Texans. So their offensive line has been a real disappointment. That's been part of it. But, you know, really, I guess when you have a season that's this disappointing, it's everything. But the offensive line would be sort of first on my list of everything.
This is a USC team that's obviously been on fire lately. I mean, they started off just awful. They were hot garbage, basically, and now they've won seven games in a row. It's a rivalry game. I mean, do you see this as being another close game? Just Notre Dame's been in pretty much all close games. Do you think this certainly has the capability of being another one?
It definitely has the capability of it. I would stick my neck out there and say it won't be a replay of 2 years ago when USC just completely wiped the field with Notre Dame. At that point, Notre Dame was so beaten up. Their two starting defensive tackles in that game are now both four-string tight ends at two different schools. They had so little material on the defensive line, they just could not hold up. Their defensive line is actually pretty good. You know, Jerron Jones and Isaac Rochelle are both really good players, senior and fifth-year senior. They don't have a lot of depth. I do like their linebackers. They're experienced and athletic, probably more athletic than Notre Dame usually has there. So I think it will be a close game. I think USC will probably break Notre Dame's streak of seven losses by one score or less by winning by 10 to 14 points. But I do think this is a game that will at least be interesting to watch for more than the first half.
And then I know you got a lot going on today, so we don't want to keep you too long, but one last thing. With the emergence of Sam Darnold, certainly different look for this USC offense than what you saw the first few games. How's Notre Dame faced? I mean, have they faced more athletic quarterbacks, and how have they fared against those guys this year?
They haven't faced They haven't faced anybody like Sam Darnold, that's for sure. And Brian Kelly in his press conference today in one of the few USC comments said that basically he's not really seen anybody like Sam Darnold in years in terms of just being a true freshman who's that good. You know, in terms of like real dual threat guys who are actually pocket passers, I mean, they face one every day in practice in DeShone Kizer, so maybe that helps a little bit. But this season, the quarterbacks that Notre Dame have faced have been pretty poor. The best one by NFL standards they face is Brad Kaya, and they made him look pretty bad. But Miami had no offensive line. Beyond that, they haven't really faced a good quarterback, at least in a dual threat capacity. So I, in some ways, I think you'd have to go back to previous years to find one even close to Darnold, and that doesn't really apply with this defense. So it's, I'm fascinated to see how that matchup goes because Notre Dame's secondary is so young. Is that going to be exposed by Juju Smith and those guys and that group, or is that going to be hidden by the fact that Darnold isn't going to see coverages maybe as clearly as a veteran would, and Notre Dame maybe can bait him into something? I'm not really sure. I think that's going to be a really interesting game within the game, though, on Saturday.
Yeah, he's definitely made some mistakes. He's thrown picks. I think the thing that he does best is just his ability on third down to find guys open downfield and get away from a pass rush and extend plays with his legs. You see a lot of guys extend plays with their legs and then maybe pick up 3 yards and get out of bounds. They avoid a sack. He's able to like find some guy 15 yard downfield and pick up a first down too.
Yeah, I think the matchup that's more interesting is Notre Dame's linebackers and how do they spy Darnold? Because like Notre Dame does not have a pass rush with a defensive line at all. It's been terrible. So I think the way I would play that is if I'm Notre Dame, I would, come out in sort of 3-4 personnel, which they do quite a bit. They play a lot of 3-3-5 set in terms of their personnel. Rush 3 and then have Niles Morgan, their middle linebacker, or James Onwalu, their outside linebacker. Just sort of wait 2 seconds and then decide, do I go? Do I stay here and wait for Darnold to move around and then go? Because unlike some previous years where Notre Dame has played linebackers who just athletically could not cut it, I think, against USC, they don't have that problem anymore. And I think that Onwalu, number 17, and Morgan, number 5, are going to be instrumental in not just stopping Darnold from running from 7 yards on 3rd and 6, but getting in his face so much, maybe with a delayed blitz, that he can't see Darius Rogers 20 yards down the field on 3rd and 10. When he's scrambling around. So I think there's a lot of pressure on Notre Dame's linebackers, I think, this weekend to make Darnold think twice about moving around and just how long he can look down the field before there's a linebacker coming at him.
Pete Sampson does a great job for the scout site that covers Notre Dame, Irish Illustrated. Follow him on Twitter at Pete Sampson with an underscore, correct? There's an underscore at the end, right?
Yeah. There's the original Pete Sampson was already taken, so I have to go with the underscore.
Oh man, yeah. Someone took Ryan Abraham too, so now I have like more like a weird one, like inside Troy. But I've been trying to get it. The guy doesn't use it anymore. I'm like, man, can I get a Twitter? But I don't know.
Yes.
First world problems.
These are off-season questions for us.
Yeah. First world problems. Pete, Pete and his crew will be coming out here to Manhattan Beach. They love coming to the Post. I think I showed that to him a few years ago. So.
This is our third straight LA trip for Friday night at MB Post. I might need to have an extra cocktail after today.
Yeah, I can, if you need any advice about covering sanctions, although it looks like, it's not going to be too bad, but, it was a year, monthly thing, yearly thing here at USCfootball.com. We've had to cover that quite a bit. So I can give you any advice.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
That's Pete Sampson. He's heading out here this weekend. So happy Thanksgiving, Pete, and thanks again for coming on.
Thanks. Happy Thanksgiving to you.
All right. Pete Sampson, Irish Illustrated. Hope you guys enjoyed this little quick version of the Peristyle podcast. Wanted to get a quick Notre Dame preview up there for you. So hope you enjoyed it, and we will talk to you next time.
You've been listening to the Peristyle podcast presented by USCFootball.com. Be sure to tune in next week for the latest news on Trojan football and recruiting. Don't forget, you can automatically download the podcast directly to your smartphone or tablet for free. Just click the iTunes link on peristylepodcast.com or search for Peristyle Podcast at the iTunes Music Store.